Imagine buying a piece of a $50 million commercial skyscraper in Dubai while you're standing in line waiting for your morning coffee.
Right, just right there on your phone.
Exactly. I mean, no lawyers to call, no banks to negotiate with, no physical paper deed to sign or, file away in a safe deposit box somewhere.
It sounds like science fiction, honestly.
It really does. But today, we are looking at how a digital ledger is entirely rewriting the oldest asset class on Earth. And we're looking specifically in a region where physical property is just absolute king, which is the Gulf Cooperation Council or the GCC.
Yeah, the GCC. Because when you picture building lasting generational wealth in places like Saudi Arabia or the UAE, there is a very specific, historically heavy image that comes to mind for most people.
Oh, for sure. It's that tangible gold-embossed legal deed to a piece of premium real estate.
Yeah.
You buy the land, you buy the building, and that physical bricks-and-mortar reality has been the ultimate trusted vehicle for wealth for decades.
It really has. That physical asset has always been the cornerstone of stability because, well, you can see it, you can touch it, and you hold undeniable dominion over it.
Right, you own it.
You own it. But the landscape of how investors access that stability is, it's undergoing a massive transformation right now. We are looking at a fundamental shift in the very architecture of property investment.
And to really understand this shift, we brought a pretty fascinating stack of sources to the table for this deep dive.
A great stack, yeah.
We're looking at detailed excerpts from a blog post by Osul Gamma, and that one is titled "Tokenized Real Estate versus Traditional Property Ownership in the GCC." And we are backing that up with comprehensive industry reports from the World Economic Forum, Deloitte, PwC, and Investopedia.
So we've got a really solid foundation of data here.
Exactly. Our mission today is to break down this collision between the traditional heavy world of real estate and the frontier of digital infrastructure.
Okay, let's unpack this. How exactly is a digital ledger changing a market built entirely on physical concrete? Well, to get into that, we really have to look at the underlying mechanics, the actual plumbing of how these two vastly different models give you exposure to the exact same property market.
Right, because the end goal is the same.
Exactly. The goal is property exposure. So in the traditional model, the mechanics are historically entrenched. You purchase the physical asset directly, your name goes on a government registry, and you are handed the legal title.
The gold embossed deed.
The gold embossed deed, exactly. It is a one-to-one relationship between you and the physical structure. But the digital or the tokenized model, it completely severs that direct relationship.
It cuts it entirely.
It cuts it, and it replaces it with a layered legal and technological framework.
See, that layered framework is exactly what tripped me up at first, because the sources talk about acquiring these digital investment units recorded on a blockchain
Yeah.
instead of buying the property. But I mean, if I don't own the deed and I don't own the actual building, what exactly am I buying? How does the law connect a digital token on my phone to a high-rise in Riyadh?
That is the million-dollar question. And that connection happens through something called a special purpose vehicle, or an SPV.
An SPV, yeah.
Yeah. So when a property is tokenized, a distinct corporate entity, that SPV, is created specifically to purchase and hold the legal title to that physical building.
Wait, so a company buys the building?
Precisely. That company owns the building outright. And then the ownership of that company is mathematically divided into shares.
Oh, I see.
Right. Those shares are digitized into tokens and placed on a blockchain. So when you buy a token, you are acquiring an economic interest in the legal entity that owns the property.
Okay, that makes so much more sense.
Yeah, you don't hold the deed. The company holds the deed. You hold a programmable digital share of the company's financial output.
I was trying to visualize this legal separation earlier, and it feels a lot like the difference between being the sole captain of your own ship versus holding a tradable digital ticket for a merchant vessel.
Oh, I like that analogy.
Thanks. Because in the traditional model, you own the ship, you steer it, you pay for the maintenance, and you keep all the profits from whatever cargo it moves.
You're doing all the work.
Right. But in the tokenized model, a corporate entity owns the ship and they hire a professional crew to sail it. Your digital ticket simply guarantees you a specific percentage of the profits from whatever cargo that ship delivers.
What's fascinating here is how perfectly that captures the dynamic. Because you're moving from outright physical dominion to a right of economic participation.
Which is a huge mental leap.
It's massive. And the technological layer, you know, the blockchain, is what makes this modern iteration possible in the first place.
Which actually brings up a massive question I had while I was reading through the WEF and Deloitte reports.
Okay, what's that?
Well, why do we need a blockchain for this at all? I mean, if this is really just about owning shares in a company that owns a building, couldn't the asset manager just use, like, an Excel spreadsheet to track who owns which fraction of the property?
Right.
Why inject all this complex digital ledger infrastructure?
Ah, yeah, that is a very common question. Mm-hmm. And what the WEF and Deloitte emphasize is that the blockchain solves the inherent problem of trust in fractional ownership.
Trust? How so?
Well, if an asset manager just uses an internal Excel spreadsheet, you are entirely reliant on their honesty and, frankly, their cybersecurity.
Oh, right. Because they could just change it.
Exactly. They could accidentally delete your row. They could retroactively change the ledger to benefit someone else, or their servers could just get hacked.
That sounds like a nightmare.
It is. A blockchain, by contrast, is a trustless, immutable ledger.
Immutable meaning it can't be changed.
Right. It cannot be altered. When your token is recorded, that transaction is cryptographically sealed and distributed across thousands of independent computers.
Oh.
So no single entity, not even the asset manager who created the tokens in the first place, can secretly alter the record of your ownership. It replaces the need for blind trust with mathematical certainty.
Okay, so the blockchain basically acts as this unbreakable digital vault protecting my ticket to the cargo.
That's a great way to put it.
But if I am just a ticket holder standing on the shore, and a corporate entity is running the ship, who is actually making sure the ship doesn't sink.
Ah.
I mean, if I don't hold the physical deed, who is making sure the roof doesn't cave in on this commercial building in the UAE?
And that brings us directly to the massive trade-off of governance.
Okay, well, let's get into that.
Because when you decouple ownership from the physical asset, you completely change the day-to-day reality of the investment. Traditional ownership offers absolute control. You dictate the lease terms, you decide when to renovate, and you choose the exact moment to sell.
You are the boss.
You are the boss. But that total control demands total operational bandwidth. You are personally on the hook for property taxes. You are managing insurance policies. And, you know, if a pipe bursts at 2 a.m, your phone is the one ringing.
Yeah, nobody wants that call.
No one does. Crucially, in the GCC, you are entirely responsible for navigating evolving local municipal property regulations, which can be complex. It is a highly active, labor-intensive asset.
It's basically the headache of being the landlord.
Exactly.
And it seems like tokenization completely outsources that headache. Because if you are holding digital units of a managed legal entity, professional asset managers are the ones overseeing the day-to-day operations, right?
Yes, exactly.
They are the ones finding the tenants, fixing the pipes at 2 a.m, and dealing with the local authorities.
They shoulder all of that operational burden. And it transforms what has historically been a highly active undertaking into a completely passive investment.
Which sounds amazing.
It does, but they do not do this out of the goodness of their hearts.
Right. There's always a catch.
Always. Traditional ownership comes with direct operational expenses like paying contractors or your tax bills. Tokenized platforms handle those issues, but they charge management or administrative fees.
So you're paying for the convenience.
You are paying a structural premium for that convenience, yes.
I have to push back on this setup, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because as I was reading through these sources, the whole idea of giving up operational control felt like a massive hidden risk.
It's definitely a shift in risk.
Right. I mean, if I hold these tokens, I can't unilaterally decide that the market is hot and it's time to sell the whole building. I can't decide to upgrade the units to charge higher rent. Aren't you entirely at the mercy of the asset manager's competence? What if the legal entity running my investment is just terrible at real estate?
This raises an important question, and honestly, it is the exact critical lens an investor must apply here.
Really? So the reports talk about this.
Absolutely. You are absolutely relinquishing operational control. The risk does not magically disappear. It fundamentally shifts its shape.
Shifts its shape. How do you mean?
Well, when you purchase traditional real estate, your due diligence is intensely physical. You inspect the foundation, you check the roof, you evaluate the neighborhood.
Right. You kick the tires.
Exactly. But when you purchase tokenized real estate, your due diligence must be intensely corporate and legal.
Oh, I see. So instead of auditing the concrete, I have to audit the people managing the concrete.
Precisely the point. You must investigate the governance structure of the SPV.
Okay, what am I looking for exactly?
You're looking at things like how transparent is the asset manager's track record? What are their exact fee structures? What are the voting rights attached to your tokens if the majority wants to liquidate the asset?
That makes sense.
Yeah, tokenization appeals to those seeking a passive operational role, but it demands an incredibly active role in your initial upfront research of the managing entity.
It's a pretty heavy trade-off when you think about it. Giving up total control and taking on corporate risk might be a really tough pill to swallow for someone who's used to holding a physical deed.
It is a big adjustment.
So why would an investor willingly make that trade? And I think the answer, jumping out of the reports from PwC and Investopedia, comes down to the brutal reality of the traditional real estate market.
Which is?
That it's an incredibly exclusive walled garden.
Yes. The barrier to entry in traditional GCC real estate is staggering. It is an asset class historically reserved for the ultra-wealthy or major institutional players.
Let's really look at what that friction feels like for a normal person. If you want to buy prime real estate, say, you know, a multi-million dollar residential development in Riyadh, you need massive upfront capital just for the down payment alone.
Millions, usually.
Right. But the money is only half the battle.
Yep.
The administrative friction is just agonizing.
Oh, it's a nightmare.
You are dealing with complex legal documentation, coordinating with foreign banks for financing, hiring local representatives, and literally flying out for physical title registration and notary visits.
Taking time off work, paying for flights.
Exactly. It is a slow, heavy, profoundly illiquid process that actively locks out the vast majority of people.
It is an environment of profound exclusivity. The sheer gravity of the capital required and that administrative labyrinth we just talked about, it naturally restricts market participation. And this is exactly where the tokenized model exerts its most disruptive force.
Here's where it gets really interesting for you, the listener. If you have ever looked at the booming skylines in the UAE or Saudi Arabia and felt completely priced out by that walled garden, the underlying math has now been rewritten.
Completely rewritten.
Tokenization utilizes this concept of extreme divisibility. By mathematically fracturing a massive, inaccessible property into thousands or even millions of smaller digital units, the capital commitment required to participate drops off a cliff.
It plummets.
You no longer need millions of dollars and a team of lawyers to get exposure to a premium high-rise. You just need enough capital to purchase a single fractional token on the digital ledger.
And that completely democratizes access to institutional-grade assets. Suddenly, a completely new demographic of micro-investors has the mechanical ability to build diversified real estate portfolios.
Micro-investors. I love that term.
Yeah, because you could hold a fraction of a commercial plaza in Dubai and a fraction of an apartment complex in Riyadh, all managed digitally, without ever signing a physical mortgage document or boarding a flight.
It is a brilliant mechanism for access. Just brilliant. But, and this is a big but, while the mechanism is brilliant, the text comes with a massive blinking warning label about this democratization.
Yes, it does.
Because the ease of access can create a really dangerous illusion.
The sources are emphatic on this point, actually. Unprecedented accessibility does not equal guaranteed success.
Right.
The fact that you can purchase a digital token representing a fraction of a building with a few taps on your phone, well, that does not insulate you from the realities of the property market. The sheer convenience of the transaction can sometimes mask the underlying risk of the asset itself.
Right. Like, just because the digital ticket is easy to buy doesn't mean the ship isn't going to sink.
That is the crucial reality check. The macroeconomic factors, the local property regulations, the economic dynamics of the specific neighborhood, the supply and demand for commercial space in that particular city, all of these physical factors still completely dictate the financial success of your digital token.
It's all connected.
Very much so. A poorly located, mismanaged property is a terrible investment, regardless of whether you own the entire thing with a paper deed or a tiny fraction of it on a highly advanced blockchain.
The bad building is still a bad building.
Exactly.
So let's move from the theoretical architecture into the real-world application of this technology. Because I want to know how we are actually seeing this executed in the market today.
Yeah.
The sources provide a specific case study to bridge this gap, right?
Yes. The text highlights platforms like Osul Gamma, which are actively operating within this exact intersection of traditional property and digital infrastructure.
Okay. And just to be clear for the listener, we are looking at them purely as a structural example.
Right. Purely as an example of the broader market trend. It illustrates how these theoretical concepts are being deployed practically.
So we are looking at them as the plumbers actually installing this new system. What exactly does a platform like that do in practice?
Well, they act as the vital bridge. A platform like Othul Gamma structures the SPVs we discussed earlier.
Okay, so they set up the corporate entities.
Right. They handle the complex legal acquisition of the physical property, they navigate the local GCC compliance frameworks, and then they actually mint the digital tokens on the blockchain.
Oh, wow. So they handle the entire backend.
A whole thing. They provide the required governance structures and the asset transparency, which allows an investor to clearly trace their digital token back to the specific physical property it represents.
That's incredible.
They are basically packaging historically illiquid real estate into accessible, structured digital formats.
You know, reading through how these platforms operate brought me to, I think, the most crucial synthesis of this entire deep dive.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there is this huge tendency to view new technology as the assassin of the old ways, like the new thing has to kill the old thing.
Right, the whole disruption narrative.
Exactly. But the sources make it explicitly clear. Tokenized real estate does not replace traditional ownership. It complements it. They're basically two different tools serving two completely different investor profiles.
That is spot on. The emergence of digital investment units does not signal the death of the physical deed. They operate in parallel.
And there's a beautiful kind of grounded irony in all of this. We have spent this entire deep dive analyzing digital ledgers, trustless blockchain infrastructure, special purpose vehicles, and fractional tokenization.
It all seems incredibly futuristic.
It does. It sounds like sci-fi.
Yeah.
But at the absolute core of it all, the success of your high-tech digital token relies entirely on the most old-school reality imaginable.
Which is?
Does anyone actually want to rent the physical building?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it all comes back to the foundation, both literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
The technology alters how you access the returns, but the technology cannot generate returns in a vacuum. Both the traditional model and the tokenized model are entirely subservient to the exact same real estate fundamentals.
Right.
Asset quality matters. Is the building well constructed and maintained? Rental demand matters. Is the property in a desirable, economically growing location? And professional management matters.
Because, I mean, a sophisticated blockchain cannot fix a leaky roof.
Exactly. And an immutable digital ledger cannot force a tenant to sign a commercial lease.
The physical reality of the concrete still reigns supreme. You just can't code your way out of a bad location.
You really can't. Ultimately, the choice between these two models is no longer a debate about whether real estate in the GCC is a viable asset class.
Right. We know it is.
We know it is.
Yeah.
The choice is entirely a reflection of your personal investor profile.
Okay, so what should an investor be asking themselves?
Well, what are your specific financial resources? What is your tolerance for operational risk? And what is your desired level of day-to-day involvement?
Makes sense.
If you command significant capital, demand absolute dominion over your assets, and possess the bandwidth to handle administrative burdens, well, the traditional physical deed remains a remarkably powerful tool for wealth generation. However, if you seek exposure to these historically robust markets with lower capital requirements, desire geographic flexibility, and are willing to exchange operational control for the convenience of professional management, then a digital infrastructure is now mature enough to support that strategy.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? Let's bring this all together. Traditional real estate ownership in the GCC offers absolute control and a direct, unshakable legal title to physical assets.
Yes, total dominion.
But it demands massive upfront capital, agonizing administrative friction, and a significant portion of your time to manage. It is a heavy, active, exclusive investment.
Very heavy.
Tokenized real estate, on the other hand, strips away your direct control in your physical title and replaces them with a digital right to economic participation in a managed corporate entity.
Right.
And in exchange for relinquishing that control, it shatters the financial barriers to entry, utilizes blockchain technology to ensure transparent fractional ownership, and turns property management into a passive, highly accessible digital experience.
It really is the ultimate negotiation. You are trading exclusivity and control for accessibility and convenience.
Exactly.
But as we've established, while the mechanism of access has fundamentally changed, the underlying rules governing property value remain entirely untouched.
The concrete and the location are still the only things that truly matter in the end.
The permanence of the physical asset is a constant. But You know, looking at the mechanics we've explored today leads me to a rather provocative thought about the future of this market.
Oh, what's that?
Well, we've established that tokenization makes it incredibly easy for thousands of microinvestors to buy, trade, and sell fractional shares of properties on a digital ledger almost instantaneously.
Right, just swiping on an app.
Exactly. We're applying stock market style liquidity to an asset class that has historically been defined by its illiquidity.
That's a massive shift. I mean, you can trade a digital token in a matter of seconds, but you absolutely cannot sell a physical skyscraper in seconds.
Exactly the point of friction. So, what happens to the physical, traditionally slow-moving real estate market when it is suddenly exposed to internet speed liquidity?
Oh, wow. I never thought of that.
Yeah. If there is a sudden drop in local rental demand or a localized economic shock in a specific GCC city, could the sheer speed of digital fractional selling create a rapid panic?
Like a run on the bank, almost.
Exactly. Real estate has historically been insulated from massive daily price swings precisely because it is so slow, expensive, and difficult to sell a physical building.
Right, people are locked in.
They are locked in. But we are injecting high-speed trading dynamics into an asset class fundamentally designed for slow generational holding.
Yeah.
The ripples of that collision, whether they bring unprecedented efficiency or unprecedented volatility, well, that's something the market has yet to fully witness.
Wow, that completely flips the perspective. I mean, the very friction that makes traditional real estate so agonizing to get into might actually be the shock absorber that keeps the entire market stable.
It very well could be.
And by using digital ledgers to remove that friction, we might be removing the shock absorber entirely. That is a brilliant question to ponder. When you picture that heavy, gold-embossed legal deed now, you have to ask yourself, is the weight of that paper a barrier keeping you out, or is it an anchor keeping the whole system grounded?
It's a fascinating thing to think about.
It really is. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep examining the structures around you, keep questioning the mechanics of how things truly work, and we will catch you next time.